Well, good morning, everybody. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3 says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." You know, there's a lot of things out there that make us happy. For me, I love my teams. I love the Saints. I love the Titans. Those are my favorite football teams. Not so much for the Falcons. Not so much for the Giants. Sorry, Sydney. But, you know, I also enjoy certain rock bands. Like my old days, Journey, Boston, Air Supply. But stuff I don't like, I'm sorry, but some of the old school rap I cannot handle. Rap today, now I cannot handle. You know, things that encourage me is seeing everyone here. Another thing that encourages me is being able to see everybody face to face and in person. What does discourage me is these times we've been through. I mean, the fact that people are separating whose life matters. People fighting over whose life matters. It should never be a fight. Because of the fact that everyone matters, whether white or black or pink or blue. Everyone matters. But, you know, we're not here to talk about discouragement. We're here to talk about rejoicing always. So what does the Bible say about rejoicing always? Well, let's start by looking at Philippians 4:4. Says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." You know, always the Lord is worthy of our praise and our worship. When life's good, oh yeah, we definitely need to praise God. But you know, when it's not so good, we have to praise God too. You know, one of my favorite movies, The Face of the Giants, the coach was teaching a winning attitude to the team. But one of the things he always said was, when we win, we're going to praise God. When we lose, we're going to praise God. When we have our blessings, amen. When we falter, amen. It's a learning experience. So now I don't know. Now I know what not to do the next time. I know what I can do not to struggle the next time. And today we're going to be talking about gratitude as we rejoice always. We're also going to talk about the honor that's due to God. You know, God is the author and the finish of our lives. He is the Alpha and the Omega. More importantly, he says this in Deuteronomy 4:24, and you don't have to turn there, but it says, "For the Lord your God is an all-consuming fire, a jealous God. He wants it all. He wants it now." Just like that old Queen song from the day, "I want it all, and I want it now." And God wants it. He doesn't want 99% of it. He wants 100% of it. And he wants it now. When we sit there and we say, "Jesus is Lord," okay, that's when God says, "I want it now." Not 1 year from now, not 2 days from now, not 2 million years from now, but I want it now. And God wants us to rejoice in it as well. Psalm 18, one of my favorite chapters. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. It says, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from his enemies. You know, God is what gives me the strength to live every day. You know, he's always there. He's always delivering for me. He's the bedrock on which I can found my life. You know, God is who I take refuge in. I mean, I'm sad to say this, but people are going to fail you, but God isn't. God never fails you. That's why we need to rejoice even when we're sad, because we can always go to God in prayer. We can always go to Him and just tell God, oh my gosh, I blew it. I'm sorry. You know, He is the horn, the shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold. And of course, when we pray, I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. You know, if God is for me, who can be against me? You know, the Bible also says no weapons formed against me shall prosper. So again, if my God is for me, tell me, who can be against me? You know, and the title of this psalm, if you look at the beginning of what it says, it will say, praise to the God who delivers His own. You know, David was one of the ones who rejoiced and praised in his worship of God. You know, we always think about these comedy roasts. They're sitting there and they're praising somebody. You've got all these people that come just to make this person feel good, just to encourage them for what they've done. You might even joke about them, but in the end, it's encouraging them. But when we're talking about praise and worship, David praised and worshiped in Psalms. David prayed and poured his heart out to God in these Psalms. And he was always trying to encourage others with the Psalms. As a matter of fact, Psalm 103, you don't have to turn there, but just write down verses 1 through 5. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with loving compassion, who satisfies your desire with good things, so that your youth is renewed like eagles. You know, this is just a small example of how David praised and worshiped God. It's also a small piece of honor that David gives due to God. You know, in our warrior group, the week before this last week, we talked about different psalms. We talked about praising God through worship, but also through praying, pouring out our hearts to God. You know, one example of pouring our hearts to God is Psalm 51. If you'll turn there with me, please. And starting in verse 1, it says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I always know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Now I'm going to stop there just for a second. You see, David is in a time of turmoil right there. And you see that he is begging God for intercession. But verse 3 says, for I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire the truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than the snow. Let me hear the joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out my iniquity. David is really pouring himself out to God right now for forgiveness. And we see some more humility in him in verse 10. Create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will turn back to you. So here we see David praising and worshiping God as he's pouring his heart out to God. David knows where he's at, but he's praising God for the good and the bad, and he's asking God to forgive him for the bad. And if we turn to Psalm 27, another example, I'm just going to read the first few verses. The Lord is my light and my salvation, and whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies attack and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. You know, David right there is acknowledging God through his worship and praise that God is the one who can deliver him from his enemies. You know, he talks about the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I mean, rejoicing through sufferings, but realizing that God can throw me into a lake of fire. God can send me to hell. Man could shoot me, but that's only earthly. God can punish me eternally. So we go back to Psalm 103. And we're going to read a little bit further. In verse 6, it says, "The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made his ways known to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities." You know, here we see just yet another example of David in the midst of struggles. He's saying, "I know I'm going to have problems, dear God, but you know what? I'm going to rejoice in you because you can deliver me." And like I was saying before, Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." You know, let's look at David's life. He had a lot that he didn't have to rejoice, that really wasn't worth rejoicing. I mean, he was the last son in his family's lineage, and he was even forgotten about. But yet he was the young boy who was willing to go against the Philistine. He stood there for 40 days as the army did not advance. And he was the only one willing to. But also the fact that not only was he willing to advance, he killed the Philistine. And because of that, his name was made great. And with God, sorry. You know, troubles have come my way. You know, like the song, "I've got to pray sometimes. Troubles come my way, I've got to cry sometimes. But you see, I know that my Jesus will fix it after a while." I was telling Chris some of the things that I've struggled with. I told Chris some of the things in my childhood that, sadly, I had to go through. But it's taken the longest time to be able to rejoice about it. It's taken a long time to be able to get past that past, to where I can rejoice again. I mean, it started with my mental health issues. When I first got diagnosed, I didn't want to rejoice. They told me I had depression. They told me I had anxiety and PTSD. But yet, I thought I was normal. That's the thing. I thought I was okay. But I wasn't. And the sad thing is, me and Nora had been married 12 years then. I'm sorry, we were married 10 years. But prior to that, I did not get any help when my wife begged me for it. Until I hit a point to where she's like, you really need to get help. And even when I got that help, I was struggling to see the dark light before the dawn. But yeah, I had brothers like Sydney. I had sisters like Gloria telling me to rejoice. Keep your head up. Keep in the fight. And it took a little bit, but then it took hold. And then this last year, talking about God working through me in ways I can't do for myself, God has really raised my spirit. He's really brought a fire within me to where I love him more than I ever did. So, you know, I lived a life of troubles. And I'm sorry if I brought up a lot of negatives and thinking Psalms to really meditate on. But the fact of the matter is, if it weren't for those struggles, I couldn't rejoice. If it weren't for those good times, I couldn't rejoice. And for a while, I was so medicated that I could not rejoice. But you see, now that I'm a son of God, now that he's changed my life, I rejoice even if I stub my toe. I know that sounds crazy, but yes, I do. Talking about gratitude, look at how gracious David is. When David talks about Psalm 51, when he is sitting there pouring his heart out after he was an adulterer and a murderer, and he prays, confessing, asking God for forgiveness, asking for him to renew his heart in him, to restore him to the joy of his salvation. He could have been all downcast. All of us could have been downcast, but no. David was an awesome example of what it means to praise God in the good and in the bad. And David was gracious in the good and the bad. You know, we talk about honor being due to God. We need to honor him through the good and the bad. Because without him, we would not be in existence. We would not be who God called us to be. You know, we started with Philippians 4, where Paul tells them, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. You know, in these days, there's been a lot of trouble in this world. There's been COVID-19. There's been all these protests that, yes, worldly, it's easy. I'm going to say again, it's easy to be downcast. It's easy to be discouraged. But you see, when we're called to be disciples, Philippians 4:4 charges us, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. You know, God wants us to rejoice whether it's good or bad. God wants us to be gracious whether it's good or bad, because we can always learn from the bad. But last, we want to give God the honor that is due to him. So as we go today, let's remember, trouble may come your way, but you got to pray sometimes. You know, troubles come your way, you know, you got to cry sometimes. You know, Ecclesiastes 3 talks about, you know, there's a time to mourn, but there's a time to dance. This is our time to dance. It's not our time to mourn. It's time to rejoice in the law of the Lord. And I personally picked that song, Rejoice in the Law of the Lord, for a reason. Because God's law is blessing. But sometimes we can look at it as a disappointment. But you see, we grow through those blessings. We grow through those discouraging points. So with that, let's always rejoice. Let's always be gracious to God. And let's always give God the honor that he's due. And to God be the glory.